Let's take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 13. We were there this morning, but we'll go back there to Matthew chapter number 13. I want to share with you again a little bit about the mystery of the church age. I touched on it this morning, but it's something that a lot of folks don't understand, and even the disciples and others did not understand, and the Lord's going to encourage them and help them to begin to understand some of those things. First of all, we have the Old Testament. You had the time of the prophets, the Old Testament prophets and so forth, and they were preaching, and they talked about the kingdom and the kingdom of God. They preached all about that and the kingdom of Israel, and that that there was the Messiah was going to come, and so forth. And then we get up to the end of the Old Testament, and there is the birth of Christ, and the New Testament begins there. We have the history books, the Apocrypha in between there, and different things had happened. But when we come to the New Testament and Christ is born, He's the Messiah, but yet we see, and we saw it in Matthew chapter 12 this morning, the people, they rejected Him. They said, no, He is not performing these miracles. He's performing these miracles by the power of demons, by the power of Beelzebub. And so they really rejected Christ. Christ was the Messiah. He came as a suffering servant, but they wanted Him to be a sovereign king. And they rejected Him, they rejected His message, and thus it entered into a parenthetical period of time, if you would, a time when we, which you and I are now living in, and that is the church age. And the Old Testament prophets, when they prophesied, they didn't really see the church age happening like what we're seeing, like we're experiencing. But yet there's going to come a time at the end of the church age that the Lord is going to come back, His second coming. He's going to come again, and this time He is going to reign as the sovereign King of Israel and the sovereign King of His kingdom. And so that'll be a very exciting period of time, but we are in that period known as the church age. And there was a lot of things that the people did not understand about the church age. It was a mystery to them. It was a mystery period of time that they did not understand and they did not know. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. But when we come to the parables here, what I want you to see is that the church age is beginning because of the rejection of Jesus in Matthew 12 and other places. They had begun to reject Him and refuse Him as being the Messiah. And so now what's happening is Jesus is beginning to teach the truths of the church age. He's beginning to teach the truths that they would not have understood. He's sharing those with His disciples, and He's going to give them some real words of encouragement in some of these parables. Now, two of the parables we'll talk about tonight are parables of influence. These two parables, that is the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven or the yeast and the bread. Then there's also the parable of the wheat and the tares, and we're going to begin with that, talking about it a little bit. So go, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 13. Begin with me. We'll go down to verse number 24. The Bible says, another parable He put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. I want you to see something. The servants here, they said to him, do you want us to go out and do you want us to gather them up? Verse number 29. But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I want us to see something here. The last parable that we looked at this morning, the parable, it focused on the soils. Remember, we had the soils that we focused on this morning. There was the unresponsive. There was the superficial. There was the one that was choked out by the weeds, the cares of the world. Excuse me. And then there was the parable of the responsive person, that is the soil of the heart that is ready to hear the gospel. Well, this parable is focusing on the harvest of the crop. It's focusing on the harvest at the end of the crop or the crop itself. Well, tares. Well, you say, well, Pastor, this is about the wheat and the tares. What are tares? Tares are actually a weed called darnel is the name of it. And these weeds, they look very much like wheat. When they first begin to grow, you can't tell them from wheat until the wheat begins to fulfill, the wheat begins to ripen, and so forth. Then you begin to notice the difference. Now, you say, well, what was Jesus talking about? Well, this would have happened, and it did happen, because the Romans actually had a law about this, and that is... maybe you get into a dispute with somebody, you got into a dispute with a neighbor, or you got into a dispute with another farmer somewhere. It did happen from time to time that in that planting season, the farmer might go out and he would plant all of his wheat, he would get all of his crops into the ground, and then an enemy, someone that maybe had it in for him or they were upset with him, they might sneak out into his field at night and sow these tares, sow all of the weeds. And you really wouldn't know that the weeds had been sown with the wheat until they were taller, until they had grown some, until you begin to be able to tell a little bit of a difference when the wheat was beginning to ripen. And so what was happening here is there was actually a law that dealt with this if you were to do something like this. And so it was a practice. This happened. Enemies would come and they would sow weeds into your garden, into your crops, into your fields. Well, the disciples, they see this and they hear the story and so forth, or the servants that Jesus was using in the parable of this farmer who sowed his crop, and while he was sleeping at night, doesn't talk about he was being lazy, but it was nighttime and he was resting. He was sleeping. Because of that, his enemies went out and they sowed all kinds of tares. And eventually it began to become noticeable and obvious. You could see the tares, you could see the darnel weed from the wheat. And so his servants came to him and they said, do you want us to go out and to pull these weeds out, to get rid of them? I remember growing up on our farm, we had a lot of hay fields in different places all around. And I remember that we had a thing up there, we called it kale, and it had a yellow flower on it. And I remember if my grandfather would be driving by or we'd be going by or whatever the case might be, if there was a little bit of kale out there, he would really stop the truck and we would go out and we would have to pull all of that out and get rid of it. That's what they're saying. Do you want us to go out and to pull this out? And the farmer said, no. He said, because when you go out there, you're going to step on, you're going to knock it over, you're going to pull up, you're going to. It's going to be... just as hard on the wheat as it is the tares, and so let's don't do that. And so he tells him not to do that. And so the Romans had a law against this, oftentimes it would take weeks for it to even show up that this had happened. So it's not likely you're going to know who did it or find out who did it right away. It could take some time. But it could really only tell once the wheat began to ripen in harvest. So there's a little bit of a parable. We're going to come back to that at the end. Now let's go to a couple other parables. Here's one of the ones that is a parable, I believe, of what I would call influence. That is the mustard seed. So let's look at the parable of the mustard seed. We're going to set the parable of the wheat and the tares aside for a little bit. We're going to come back to it in a little bit later. Look at verse 31. The Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 31, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air, they come and nest in its branches." Well, how could God's people, how could they survive with so many remaining on the earth, with so much happening, so many against them, and with them they had so much contamination, so much evil influence, so many of these things were going on, and what would happen? Well, wouldn't all this evil wipe out the wheat? Wouldn't all of this evil be destructive to what God had done? Wouldn't all of this evil somehow stifle God's kingdom? Was what the enemy was doing, was it going to stop the kingdom of heaven from coming? Was it going to stop God's plan? Well, there's some things that would happen. Many would be revealed to only be superficially attracted, if you would, to Jesus. We saw some of that this morning. On the outside, superficially, they would be attractive to Jesus, but they weren't really committed to Him. They weren't really dedicated to Him. They really didn't dig their soil or their roots down deep. And so small things can have huge impacts is really one of the things that Jesus was saying here. He was saying, listen, these mustard seeds, they're some of the smallest seeds of our day. They're the smallest that we could find. They're very, very, very tiny. And yet when you plant these mustard seeds, they grow, and they grow actually in a mustard seed in that culture that day, they could grow between 8 and 12. I saw as high as 15 feet tall. They would grow pretty rapidly. And what Jesus is saying is they were questioning the kingdom. They were talking about, and what he's doing is he's giving them an example or an illustration of what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. That is, what is the church age going to be like? What's going to happen during this period of time? And so he is saying, listen, it's like this little mustard seed. You plant it, but it's going to take off and it's going to grow and it's going to be huge, and birds are going to come and they're going to rest in there. So think about this. What was he saying? He was telling those disciples that he was meeting with in his home, in a home somewhere. They had questions about parables. They had questions about his teachings. And so he says, listen, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a little mustard seed. It's starting out very small, but it's going to explode. It's going to be huge. So what was he saying? He was encouraging these disciples, listen, there may only be 12 of you. There may only be a very, very small number of followers of Jesus. But these followers of Jesus, they're going to turn the world upside down. They are going to spread the gospel. They are going to spread the good news. They are going to build the church during the church age. It is going to take off. It is going to be phenomenal. Even though it's very, very small, it's going to have a huge impact. Now they say, Caleb might correct me later, or somebody that knows more about music, but they say that Western music, or music, basically has 12 notes plus 5 sharps and 5 flats. I don't know. That's what they say. That's what I read. All right? And so you have that, and all of the music that we hear and listen to is made up of some combination of those notes. That's not very many. But look at all of the music. Look what all it can do. Look how it changed. I mean, music is incredible. All the different tunes and music and so forth, just from those few notes. What about writings? What about all the poetry? What about all the novels? What about all the songs? What about all of those things in our culture here in America, in the English language? All of those are made up of 26 letters or less. All of that. It's all made up of a very small thing. All, if you think about all of that, the books of a library and on and on and on, it's really made up of just 26 letters. What about, there was a fellow that did this, and I thought this was very interesting. He was a scientist, and he was trying to figure something out and so forth, and he got a steel beam. And he got some rope or something, but he hung this steel beam across the room. And he was doing an experiment. And so he got the steel beam hung up across the room, and he sat back away from it, and he began to throw little paper balls at it. Wad up some paper and throw it at it. And eventually, just from those tiny little paper balls hitting that steel beam, the beam began to move. And it began to move back and forth. It began to create a rhythm of the beam moving forward, moving backwards, moving forward, moving backwards. You know what it was? And it was just by small little paper wads that this man was throwing and hitting it with. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples. This kingdom is going to be huge. The church age, the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, it is going to be huge. And it's going to get a very, very small start, but it's going to be great. He was encouraging the disciples to understand and to realize the influence that they were going to have on this kingdom. God is going to use a very few disciples, if you would, to literally change the world. Remember in the book of Acts when Paul was going around and they were preaching and the people were getting angry and they said, these guys right here, they're turning the world upside down. God promised through Christ what he said to these people, through these disciples. That's what this parable is about. The mustard seed may be very small. You disciples may feel like you're not very many. You may feel like there's not very much, but God is going to use you. You're going to accomplish some great things. Well, they were weak. Maybe they weren't that special of a man. They were fishermen, tax collectors, different things like that. They hadn't been to Bible college or anything of the sort. But yet God chose to use them. But God would use them to proclaim the gospel. Well, look at something else here. Satan's opposition cannot stop God. Satan's opposition, it cannot stop God. This little mustard seed, this is something interesting I learned about this. One of the things that they do with mustard seed, and I've never heard this, but I did read about it, checked it out. Mustard seed, if they supplement it a little bit in cattle feed, it actually helps the cattle's bones. It gives them a better quality bone that they will take, and they will use that bone to actually make the silver materials that they make a film with. So the next time you're loading your camera, just think about that for a minute. You're stuffing some cow's bone in your camera. It's a little weird, isn't it? Whatever you do, don't chew on film, all right? They make marshmallows out of bones too, all right? So next time you have a toasted marshmallow, you can think about that as well. But they actually take and they say that if they supplement some cattle feed, and they give them some of this mustard seed. It improves the quality of the cattle's bones, and it makes it better when they go to make Kodak film out of these bones. Check it out. I don't know, but that's what they say, all right? So it gives them better bones to make these. Well, to make film and so forth. No record here when Jesus explains this mustard seed. When he explains that parable, there's really no explanation later. We don't see where he explained it any more to them any further. Well, then the kingdom seeming to be very small now, one day it's going to be very big. And the disciples are going to have a part of it. Remember in Acts chapter 1 and that part where the disciples go and they go into the upper room and they pray? There was only 120 of them. That was a small group. Yet Christ ascended and he said, go to this upper room. You go there and you pray and God used them. And remember all the powerful things that happened in the book of Acts. It began in that prayer meeting with those people. And so they grow, and one day they're going to provide shelter. In other words, what he was saying to the disciples, as you go out and you sow the seed, even though it may seem like a mustard seed and very small, yet the church one day is going to grow, and it's going to grow to be very big, and it is going to actually provide shelter and protection for others, for those around it. And so the church is actually, it becomes a place of blessing. The New Testament church today should be a place of blessing to the world. The problem is the world or the church in some cases, in some situations, has a very bad reputation, a bad testimony, and so it's not really seen as a refuge. It's not really seen as a place of blessing or a place of shelter or a place of protection to the world. They mock the church. They scoff at the church, but really, Christ said, as you go and you plant this mustard seed, it's going to grow. It's going to be a huge plant, and it actually will act as or become a place of protection and a blessing from the world. So there's one parable of influence. Look at the next parable. Here's another parable of influence, and this is the parable of leaven. Look at verse number 33. It says, another parable he spoke to them, and the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in time measures of meal until it was all leavened. Now, what is interesting here is the amount that she had taken. The leaven that she is going to use is the same as, remember the story back in the Old Testament of Abraham. Abraham, he goes to Sarah when the Lord comes and the angelic visitors are with him. Abraham tells Sarah to go and to prepare a certain amount, and she goes and she does that. She was asked to make a certain amount for the Lord and these visitors, and she does. Again, there's another example over in Judges where Gideon, he goes and he prepares the same amount for the angel of the Lord as the angel of the Lord comes to visit him. The point is that it's a very small amount. It's a very small amount that is used. And so things can have a great impact. So a very small amount of yeast or leaven can have a great impact or a great influence on other things. So what was Jesus telling the disciples here? This tiny little bit of leaven leavens this whole bread, this whole thing, just a little bit of it. And so just as very small things may happen and get started, God says, Jesus says to the disciples, things may start out very small, but I am going to use you to create a great a church, to create the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. Well, the influence of the kingdom is from the king. First of all, if a person doesn't accept the king, but they reject the king, then they're not going to have the influence of the kingdom that Christ is sending. And so the influence comes from the king. It comes from His Word, and it comes from His people. When God's people believe His Word, and they take His Word and they sow it into the fields, Jesus said there's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be great things that are going to happen. The influence will be positive. The influence will be great. You know, one of the worst things is, the saddest things to me, is when a church loses a positive influence or a positive impact on its community. Jesus said, go as the mustard seed, go as the leaven, and impact the world that you're living in, and have a positive impact, have a positive message that is going to impact the world. Well, leaven was used to make bread in that culture, and bread was a huge staple of their day. Everybody ate bread, and they ate a lot of bread. And leaven made bread, and it actually made bread tastier, made it taste better for sure. And so when we see this, the only time that leaven was actually forbidden for the Jews to use it in making their bread was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. During that week, they were not allowed to use leaven. They weren't allowed to even have it in their homes and so forth. And so it was only during that time. Leaven doesn't always, it's not always picturing evil in the Scriptures. And here, I don't believe it's picturing evil in this parable. And so he goes on, and rabbis would oftentimes, they would speak when they were teaching their rabbinical teachings and so forth, they would speak positively of yeast or leaven. One of their quotes that they would often say is, rabbis would say, peace is to the earth as leaven is to the dough. It wasn't always evil. I know when we observe the Lord's Supper and those types of things, we use unleavened bread. We do see in Scriptures where leaven certainly did represent evil from time to time, but not always. And so when we come to this parable, we need to be very careful that we interpret that accurately. One of the customs and the cultures, and continues even now, is a Jewish mother, when her daughter is getting ready to be married, she would actually take the leaven, and she would make bread and so forth for the family, but she would also take some of that leaven, and she would give that as a gift to her daughter for her to use in her family. It was a way of carrying on the family from here to there, from her family that she grew up in to actually using it in her own new family. And so a Jewish mother, she would give a piece of leavened dough right before the wedding. And then that daughter, she would use it to go and to make bread for her family. And so her family would have the leaven. They would have used. Her mother had given her as a gift and so forth. And it was carried on from family to family and preparing their food and their sustenance and so forth. Well, so when the daughter would receive this leaven from her mother, as a Jewish daughter, that was a very, very special, very sacred thing that she would receive. Remember, I don't know, maybe it's still going on and I just don't know about it. But wasn't there a few years ago, my wife can tell me, but wasn't there a thing where the people, ladies were packing up some kind of a dough or something in a bag? What's that? Friendship bread. You guys remember that? I remember them little sacks of Ziploc bags, you know, sitting around here and there. Friendship bread. You'd take a little bit and you'd pass it on and somebody else. That's the idea here. That the leavened bread that the mother would prepare, she would pass it on as a gift to her daughter. It was very, very special to them. It doesn't mean evil here, because it says in the parable that it is the kingdom. Well, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not evil. And therefore, it's the leaven here is not representing evil. It is representing the kingdom. Well, despite Satan, God's kingdom will stand. That's important. It will stand and it will grow. Look what God has done from the day and when this parable was spoken to his disciples, the 12, to what has happened now that the church is worldwide. It is amazing. There are literally millions of believers. And so even though Satan may be in opposition to the church and Christianity, his opposition is not going to stand, and the kingdom is going to grow. Remember, Jesus talked about the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees was evil. What was he talking about? He was talking about their hypocrisy. That is, that the Pharisees were so self-righteous and so puffed up with self-righteousness, they were filled with hypocrisy. And Jesus said, yes, that is a leaven. That is an evil. That was wrong. And so the Pharisees, their hypocrisy was huge. But what he was talking about, both of these were evil. Their hypocrisy, that was evil. Their self-righteousness, that was evil. But the point that Jesus was making was not that they were evil, but they were very powerful. That the message of the Pharisees was not only was their hypocrisy evil, but it was very powerful and it was having a huge impact on a lot of other people. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and let's look at a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Are you guys awake tonight? All right, good. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have a whole situation that's happening in the church. We have a morality issue here. We have just some bad things that were happening here. A man living with his stepmother, I believe it was, and so forth. Well, look at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 6. Paul tells them, listen, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And so we think about that, and we think, what was Paul saying there? He was talking about evil, and you allow a little bit of evil to come in, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. It's going to get to be more evil, all right? Now look at verse number 7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may, what? Be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. They needed to remove the immoral members from their church so that they would not have influence over the rest of the church body. They were allowing sin to carry on and to go, and here Paul was saying it was being used as an example of evil and that evil was going to spread more and more here. Now listen to this. The positive influence of the kingdom, it comes from within. Where's the positive influence of the kingdom of heaven? It's in you and I. The positive influence, it comes from within. It's not from without. All right? The influence of godly believers is pervasive and it's positive. The influence of godly believers, it should be pervasive and it should be positive. In other words, listen, your influence and my influence, it should be a positive influence on the people around us. It should be a pervasive one. That is, it should be pervasive. It should affect people that we come in contact with. It should affect those around us. Listen, if you and I can live our whole lives as believers and not have any impact on the world, we've failed. And Jesus is saying, listen, he's saying, you are like the mustard seed. The kingdom is going to grow. It's going to be huge. It may start out with just you guys, but it's going to grow. It's going to become huge. And now he's saying, listen, you are to have a positive influence. You're to have a positive message to all of those that you come into contact with. All right. Well, the power of God's kingdom is in us. The power of God's kingdom in us is what makes our witness powerful. So as the world looks at you and they see God's power in your life, they see how God helps you through problems. They see how the power of prayer is affecting your life. They see how the power of God's Word is affecting your life. They see how the power of Scripture affects your life. When they see that power, that has an impact on the world around you. And that witness is very, very powerful. Part of the problem is believers are not living the way that we ought to. We're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not living in the power of prayer. We're not living as we ought to. And therefore, we're not having the impact and the influence on the world that we ought to have. Well, it's interesting here. Jesus tells this whole parable of the mustard seed and its impact. Started out very small, but it's going to have a huge impact. He gives them the parable of the leaven. It starts out as a very tiny lump, but it's going to leaven the whole lump. It's going to have a tremendous influence and an impact. What's interesting here is he started out with the wheat and the tares. Then he goes to the mustard seed and the leaven. Now notice something here. I believe the disciples, they understood these two parables. They understood the parable of the mustard seed. They understood the parable of the leaven. They did not ask Jesus. They did not ask him to explain it to them. I believe that's because they understood it. But they do ask him to explain the wheat and the tares. Well, let's go to verse 38. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." They didn't ask about the mustard seed or the leaven. What was the purpose of the mustard seed and the purpose of the leaven? I want you to see this. It was to encourage the disciples. That was the purpose of those two parables. It was to encourage the disciples to know that even though they were a very small group, they could have a very big impact. They were going to. Young people, listen to me. You may seem like a very small, insignificant group when you compare yourself to the entire high school or school that you go to and so forth. But I want to tell you something. You, when you are completely yielded and surrendered to the Lord, you would be amazed by the influence and the impact you may be having. Some of you that are in college, you don't really even realize the impact that you may be already having. I have heard stories of young people that lived godly lives all through high school, were mocked and made fun of, etc., etc. And then years later, someone comes back to them and says, "You know what? I always watched you. I always watched you, and I knew that you are a person of God." That's a powerful testimony. That's a powerful testimony. So never, young people, adults, never underestimate the influence of the power that your testimony is having on people around you. Well, Christ's ministering was getting more and more difficult. It was getting more and more hard. The enemies were coming out against Christ way more than they had at the beginning. The disciples, maybe they had even been getting more and more afraid. I talked a little bit about that this morning. But in the end, I want you to understand and I want you to see that God's kingdom is going to win. And that's what Jesus is talking to them about. Now, I want to close out by finishing this interpretation of the wheat and the tares because it has a great application to us as a church. In verse number 37, It says, he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Verse 40, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He saw the tares as a very major part. They were allowed to grow right along with the wheat. Servants come. Do you want us to deal with this? Do you want us to deal with these? Look at in Luke 9, 54, I think it is, they said, you know, do we need to bring fire down from heaven? I mean, the disciples, they're fired up about this. They're excited about it. And you know, what are... Well, the field is the world. And I want you to notice that the church is in the world. Not the world in the church, but the church is in the world. Do you see what's happening here? During the church age, I want you to see something. The church age is for evangelism and not for judgment. That's one of the things that was happening here. You want us to go and to pull them out and to burn them up? God said, no, not yet. Judgment is going to come, but now's not the right time. And so this period of time that he was talking about is the church age. It's the age which you and I live in. And the time that you and I are, what we're to be doing is we're to be practicing evangelism. We're to be practicing sharing the gospel, telling people how they can be saved. It's not about judgment right now. In the end, if they do not receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, then the judgment is going to come at the end of the age. But our purpose is not to bring judgment on them. Our purpose is to bring evangelism. Believers do not have the discernment to decide true or false believers. There could be folks even sitting right in this room. The truth of the matter is only God and God alone knows your heart. There could be tares that are sitting right in here with wheat. And the Bible says, let them grow together. Our purpose is not to, it's not to judge and to pluck them out. Our purpose is to evangelize. Our purpose is to continue to preach, to continue to share the gospel. There may be true, there may be false believers, but that is up to the reapers. That is up to the Lord. That is up to God someday to sort all of that out. We don't have to sort it out. We're to go forth and to evangelize and to preach the gospel and to share the gospel with the world around us. We are to be instruments of truth and grace. That's what the church is to be. We're to be instruments of truth and grace, not judgment. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we don't preach on sin. I'm not saying that we don't take a stand for what's right, etc. I understand all of that. But the message that the church should have is a message of grace that, you know what? It really doesn't matter how bad of a sinner you think you are. God can save you. That's our message. Really doesn't matter how bad you think you are, or how the world looks at you, or how, you know what? If you give your heart to Christ, God can save you. And he can change you from the inside out. He will transform you. He will create it out of you into your heart a new creature in Christ. That's the message of the church. And we are to have hearts of compassion. We're to have hearts of compassion and not condemnation. And a lot of times we are so condemning that we don't really have hearts of compassion. Right now, during the church age, the wheat and the tares, they grow together. They're growing alongside each other. They're growing in the same field. Every person must ask if they are wheat or a tare. Am I a genuine Christian, a genuine believer, or am I a phony? Am I just a look-alike? Am I just pretending? You see, God, He can take and He can make wheat out of tares. That's what God can do. When a life is truly given over to Christ, God can change it. He can make wheat out of tares. He can make saints out of sinners. He can transform. He can change. We are to witness and not to condemn. That's the work of the church. That's the work of the ministry. And so Jesus here in these parables, He gave the parable of the wheat and the tares to show them, listen, it's not a time of judgment. It's not a time to go out there and pluck up all of the... Someday God will take care of that. Someday the Lord will do that. At the end of the age, He's going to do that. And you know, that's the great thing because He knows exactly what He's doing. I might reach down and grab a wheat and shake him and pull him right out and shake the dirt off and throw him aside. God says, wait, that was... I remember my mother in the flower garden and all of that. I'm not into all that. Well, I remember, my grandmother was very big into the flower things. Very big into that. The newspaper would stop at her house and take pictures. People would stop and they would buy her flowers. They don't stop in my yard, take pictures, or buy anything, all right? I have to put it out there and just put free. But man, they'd take pictures. I remember once in a while I'd get maybe a little careless with the lawnmower, get a little too close because I didn't want to have to go out and trim it with my hands. You see all them little petals from the flower go, whoops, that wasn't good. I'd get in trouble. Or if I helped in the garden some and I'd pluck something up. You ever pull a weed out? And when you pull that weed out, it pulls the whole plant out. You know, we had strawberries. I'd pull a piece and it'd pull the whole strawberry plant out. And before my grandfather would see that, I'd put that back in there and bury it, pack it down. God didn't call us to pluck out the tares. He called us to sow seed so that He could grow wheat. That's what He's about right now. Well, one day there is going to be judgment. But right now the day is about evangelism. But what He gave the disciples right in the... What I think is cool is it's right in the middle of that parable of the wheat and the tares. Right in the middle, He talks about a mustard seed and He talks about leaven. And that was really Jesus' way of saying, you know what? I know there's only a few of you. I know there's just a handful of you. And I don't know if He told them this or not. But some of you are a little rough around the edges. Some of you need a lot of work. Peter, you need to settle down a little bit. Some of you other guys, you're fighting over who's going to be first in the kingdom. You're missing the whole point. And he had to correct them. He had to stop some of that stuff. You know, we think of them disciples and we just think of them sitting around the Lord's table and they were just a great bunch, got along great. No, they didn't. They fought with each other. They argued with each other. And Jesus takes his parables and he's like, listen, I know you're not perfect. And I know there's very few of you. But if you'll let me, I'll use you. And I think he says the same to us. Oh, you may not be perfect. None of us are perfect. Oh, you may not all know all the exact and right words to say to everybody. And sometimes you may drop the ball and not do what you should and maybe didn't speak when you ought to. But there's not one perfect vessel in this building. But God can use every single one of us if we'll yield ourselves to Him. And I think that's what he was trying to get the disciples to see. The church is going to be huge. This church age is going to be huge. You 12 disciples, you really don't have a clue of how I'm going to use you. You're just a little leaven, but you're going to do a great deal. You're just a little mustard seed, but you're going to grow into a great plant. The church is going to grow into a great plant. People are actually going to find comfort and peace and protection in it. That's what I think he was trying to explain to them. I think he was giving them encouragement. And as your pastor, I want to give you encouragement. Oh, I think you ought to be inviting people and talking to your friends and witnessing to them and sharing, maybe have them into your home. And you know, you don't have to necessarily preach at them there or something, but are you reaching out into the lost around you and sharing your faith? Are you reaching, you know, one of the big dangers, it's a huge danger, but as we become believers and the longer we become believers, you know what happens? The less friends we have that are unbelievers. And we have to intentionally go and reach out and find friends that are unbelievers to have an influence on them, to have an impact on them. I'm not saying you go out and do things to unbelievers. I'm not saying you go out and do sinful activities or whatever. But I'm saying don't isolate yourself so much that you're not having any impact. Jesus said, listen, I know you're a small group, but you can do great things. Westford, listen, we may be a small group, but if we're spirit-filled and we're prayerful, I believe God can use this church to reach the lost in Jacksonville and around the world. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, as we come before you, Lord, I thank you for the day that you have given to us. Lord, I pray that you just take these words, Lord. Oftentimes I mess them up and get them twisted, but Lord, I pray that you would take them and sort them out into our hearts and into our minds. Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to realize that we are part of that kingdom. And that, Lord, you desire to use us. You desire to use us that we might have a greater impact. Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, as we leave this place. That, Father, you would put names and people on our hearts. That, Lord, we would reach out to. That we would try to share the gospel with. That we would invite to church. That we would somehow try to have a positive influence in their lives, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would go with us. Help us, Lord, to realize that you are with us. Your Spirit leads and guides and directs us as we allow him to. So help us to do that this week. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that, Lord, are grieving because of loved ones that have passed. Lord, I pray that you would reach down and that, Lord, you would touch them, that you would encourage them, lift them up. Lord, be with us this week. Lord, we pray that we would be a witness for you everywhere we go. We pray these things in your name. Amen.